From the reading from the Bible, Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven." And God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Now from Psalms and Ecclesiastes. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day doth her speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. Let the heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moveth therein. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. Now from Ezekiel. Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the 4th month, in the 5th day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Chebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. Also out of the midst of thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Now, as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures. And their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. As for their rings, they were so high, and when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. As the appearance of a bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. Now to the New Testament, Gospel of Luke. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in, and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they went bring him in because of the multitude, they went up upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst of before Jesus. And when he saw their face, he said unto him, "Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Arise, take up thy couch, and go into thine house." And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen strange things today." Now, when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldst enter into my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. Back to Isaiah now. The Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. He shall spread forth his hands in the midst of them, as he that swimmeth spreadeth forth his hands to swim. Now from the New Testament again, Mark and John. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. About the fourth watch of the night he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out, for they all saw him, and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him, and ran through the whole region round about, and began to carry about in beds those who were sick, when they heard where they heard he was. And as many as touched him were made whole. Now I'll read from 1 Corinthians, Galatians, and Philippians. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And finally from Hebrews and the Acts. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. For in him we live, and move, and have our being. Now I shall read correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy. In infinite life and love, there is no sickness, sin, nor death, and the Scriptures declare that we live, move, and have our being in the infinite God. Mind is the source of all movement, and there is no inertia to retard or check its perpetual and harmonious action. Mind is the same life, love, and wisdom, yesterday and today and forever. Matter and its effects, sin, sickness, and death, are states of mortal mind, which act, react, and then come to a stop. They are not facts of mind. They are not ideas, but illusions. Principle is absolute. It admits of no error, but rests upon understanding. But what say prevalent theories? They insist that life, or God, is one and the same with material life, so-called. They speak of both truth and error as mind, and of good and evil as spirit. They claim that to be life which is but the objective state of material sense, such as the structural life of the tree and of material man, and deem this the manifestation of the one life, God. The belief that matter thinks, sees, or feels is not more real than the belief that matter enjoys and suffers. This mortal belief, misnamed man, is error, saying matter has intelligence and sensation. Nerves feel, brain thinks and sins. The stomach can make a man cross, injury can cripple, and matter can kill a man. Well, this verdict of the so-called material senses victimizes mortals, taught as they are by physiology and pathology, to revere false testimony, even the errors that are destroyed by truth through spiritual sense and science. Suffering is no less a mental condition than is enjoyment. You cause bodily sufferings and increase them by admitting their reality and continuance, as directly as you enhance your joys by believing them to be real and continuous. When an accident happens, you think or exclaim, "I am hurt." Your thought is more powerful than your words, more powerful than the accident itself to make the injury real. Suppose one accident happens to the eye, another to the ear, and so on until every corporeal sense is quenched. What is man's remedy? To die, that he may regain these senses? Even then, he must gain spiritual understanding and spiritual sense in order to possess immortal consciousness. Earth's preparatory school must be improved to the utmost. In reality, man never dies. The belief that he dies will not establish his scientific harmony. Palsy is a belief that matter governs mortals and can paralyze the body, making certain portions of it motionless. Destroy the belief. Show mortal mind that muscles have no power to be lost, for mind is supreme, and you cure the palsy. Divest yourself of the thought that there can be substance in matter, and the movements and transitions now possible for mortal mind will be found to be equally possible for the body. The effect of mortal mind on health and happiness is seen in this. If one turns away from the body with such absorbed interest as to forget it, the body experiences no pain. Under the strong impulse of a desire to perform his part, a noted actor is accustomed night after night to go upon the stage and sustain his appointed task, walking about as actively as the youngest member of the company. This old man was so lame that he hobbled every day to the theater and sat aching in his chair till his cue was spoken, a signal which made him as oblivious of physical infirmity as if he'd hailed chloroform, though he was in the full possession of his so-called senses. Muscles are not self-acting. If mind does not move them, they are motionless. Hence the great fact that mind alone enlarges and empowers man through its mandate, by reason of its demand for and supply of power. Anatomy describes muscular action as produced by mind in one instance and not in another. Such errors beset every material theory, in which one statement contradicts another over and over again. It is related that Sir Humphrey Davy once apparently cured a case of paralysis simply by introducing a thermometer into the patient's mouth. This he did merely to ascertain the temperature of the patient's body. But the sick man has supposed this ceremony was intended to heal him, and he recovered accordingly. Such a fact illustrates our theories. Sickness is neither imaginary nor unreal, that is, to the frightened false sense of the patient. Sickness more than fancy, it is solid conviction. It is therefore to be dealt with through right apprehension of the truth of being. If Christian's healing is abused by mere smatterers in science, it becomes a tedious mischief maker. Instead of scientifically effecting a cure, it starts a petty crossfire over every cripple and invalid, buffeting them with the superficial and cold assertion, "Nothing ails you." There is no metastasis. No stoppage of harmonious action. No paralysis. Truth, not error. Love, not hate. Spirit, not matter, governs man. What is man? Brain, heart, blood, bones, etc.? The material structure? If the real man is in the material body, you take away a portion of the man when you amputate a limb. The surgeon destroys manhood, and worms annihilate it. But the loss of a limb or injury to a tissue is sometimes the quickener of manliness, and the unfortunate cripple may present more nobility than the statuesque athlete, teaching us by his varied deprivations that a man's a man for all that. Christian Science raises the standard of liberty and cries, "Follow me. Escape from the bondage of sickness, sin, and death." Jesus marked out the way. Citizens of the world, accept the glorious liberty of the children of God and be free. This is your divine right. The illusion of material sense, not divine law, has bound you, entangled your free limbs, crippled your capacities, enfeebled your body, and defaced the tablet of your being. Mind, joyous in strength, dwells in the realm of mind. Mind's infinite ideas run and disport themselves. In humility, they climb the heights of holiness. Moral courage is the lion of the tribe of Judah, the king of a mental realm. Free and fearless, it roams in the forest. Undisturbed, it lies in the open field or rests in green pastures beside the still waters. In the figurative transmission from the divine thought to the human, diligence, promptness, and perseverance are likened to the cattle upon a thousand hills. They carry the baggage of stern resolve and keep pace with highest purpose. The divine demand, "Be ye therefore perfect," is scientific, and the human footsteps leading to perfection are indispensable. Individuals are consistent who, watching and praying, can run and not be weary, walk and not faint, who gain good rapidly and hold their position, or attain slowly and yield not to discouragement. When we wait patiently on God and seek truth righteously, he directs our path. The scriptures say, "In him we live and move and have our being." Detach sense from the body or matter, which is only a form of human belief, and you may learn the meaning of God or good and the nature of the immutable and immortal. Breaking away from the mutations of time and sense, you will neither lose the solid objects and ends of life, nor your own identity. fixing your gaze on the reality supernal, you will rise to the spiritual consciousness of being, even as the bird which has burst from the egg and preens its wings for a skyward flight. Now, this concludes the healing message in the publicly recorded portion of the meeting. Now we'll begin the meditation and prayer portion of the meeting by listening to a solo called In This Very Room. Silence for a few moments and then join together in praying aloud the Lord's Prayer. This will be followed by a musical expression of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.